Today is the last Sunday of the season of Epiphany. Today is called Transfiguration Sunday. Growing up, we were at church a lot, but I don't remember hearing about Transfiguration Sunday a lot. Well, you'll hear the scripture passage that we are about to read, and Jesus becomes glowing on a mountain. Interesting. And with him are some of his disciples, but also Moses and Elijah. Interesting. So what do we make of this? Well, I spent the week reading over this passage and reading what people thought of it, people who read the Bible a lot more than me and know a lot more than me. There's so much in this one passage, in this one story. But what kept coming back to me were God's words. "This is my son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Pretty simple, right? Listen to Jesus. That's what God is telling us. Pretty poignant message, a pretty clear message. And then the second passage you will hear is the Apostle Paul talking to the new church in Ephesus. So the new church was trying to figure out how to be church, how to do this thing called church. Some ways, thousands of years later, we're still trying to figure out how to do church. Well, these individuals had converted to Christianity, and in the passage we will hear, Paul is telling people and giving them instructions both how to live individually and in a community. He's trying to stir their sense of urgency. You'll hear it. He's trying to make them know, those people, that the time is now and they need to do things now. And then Paul explains how in this new life, in this new faith, we are called to what is good, what is right, and what is true. Paul challenges everyone, the people back then and us, to make the most of every chance we get.
Our first reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17. 6 days later, three of them saw that glory. Jesus took Peter and the brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain. His appearance changed from the inside out, right before their eyes. Sunlight poured from his face. His clothes were filled with light. Then they realized that Moses and Elijah were also there in deep conversation with him. Peter broke in. "Master, this is a great moment. What would you think if I built three memorials here on the mountain? One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While he was going on like this, babbling, a light, radiant cloud enveloped them, and sounding from deep in the cloud, a voice, "This is my son, marked by my love, focus of my delight. Listen to him." When the disciples heard it, they fell flat on their faces, scared to death. But Jesus came over and touched them. "Don't be afraid." When they opened their eyes and looked around, all they saw was Jesus, only Jesus. And our second reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. "You groped your way through that murk once, but no longer. You're out in the open now. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain. So no more stumbling around. Get on with it. The good, the right, the true. These are the actions appropriate for daylight hours. Figure out what will please Christ and then do it. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep, climb out of your coffins, Christ will show you the light. So watch your step, use your head, make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times."
Who doesn't love a good epiphany, right? When something comes to us in a sudden bolt of lightning and a new awareness is born. All right, maybe it doesn't always come in a bolt of lightning, but some awareness. Who doesn't love it, right? All right, I can't get any response out of you. Who doesn't love a good epiphany? Yes, good. Choir, you're next, so pay attention. So, the Bible is filled with epiphanies, big and small, some more obvious than others. So, Epiphany Sunday, right? When the wise men follow a star in the sky, how obvious can it be? So we could maybe argue that's an obvious epiphany, right? And then the week after, normally in churches, we preach about the baptism of Christ. And in the Gospel of Mark, the skies split open and a dove comes down and God talks to Jesus. Kind of a big epiphany because we learn more about Jesus' identity as the child of God, as God's beloved son. And yet, you can argue that maybe that's a kind of hidden epiphany, because we don't know if anyone else in that scene hears it, sees it, so maybe a little more hidden. Well, this epiphany, which is called Transfiguration Sunday, is not hidden. It's quite obvious. Jesus on a mountain surrounded by light. Pretty obvious, and not only that, but he's there with some of his disciples and Elijah and Moses, and God talks to Jesus so that everybody can hear, saying, "This is my beloved, listen to him." And then Jesus, because the disciples are a little bit confused, because why is Jesus glowing and why is Moses and Elijah here suddenly? And Jesus talks to the disciples and says, "Do not be afraid." So some of our epiphanies are very obvious, the bolt of lightning, some a little more hidden. Well, Jesus, he's pretty obvious in his life and ministry about how we are called to live and to love. Make the most of every chance you get. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us. Make the most of every chance you get. A colleague works in the Boston area, and so she tells a story about how she tries to commute to her church on her bike, and she goes through Davis Square. Now, at the early service, we had some people who know Davis Square in Boston. Anybody know Davis Square? Apparently, oh, look, I got a raise of a hand. Oh, I got two. Good. Oh, and I got a bunch. Okay, so I guess apparently it's very congested. I don't know Davis Square, but very congested. So this pastor talks about how she really has to concentrate when she's riding her bike through Davis Square. Because if she doesn't concentrate, sometimes she hears some not nice words yelled at her or a horn blaring. And so she talks about the concentration it takes to get through Davis Square. And she remembers a week, a few years ago, when as she was riding her bike, a man who was on the sidewalk yelled out, "Be safe and God bless you." Finally on Wednesday, when he had done this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning, she was at a stoplight and she said, "A wonderful blessing. Why?" to this man who blessed her with his hands raised to the sky. He said, "I look out for the moms and the babies and the people on bikes and the ones who seem to be sad and suffering, and I try to share a blessing." Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then on Friday, there was another man who held his hand in the sky and said, "Be safe and God bless you." She was stopped at that light again, and he explained that he used to commute on his bike for 30 years, and that very rarely did he get a blessing from someone standing by, but when he did, it made all the difference. Make the most of every chance you get. Bless a stranger. Look out for other people. Be in the moment. It can make all the difference. So as you heard, our children in the rotation model, so kindergarten through fifth grade, are learning about three great women of the Bible. you know, we hear a lot about some people in the Bible, God and Jesus, pretty important. We hear lots of stories about them, Moses, Elijah, these other names. But Dorcas? How many of you, honestly, had heard of Dorcas before this morning? Oh, I got a few. Okay, so we got a few. This is good. I'm glad that we have some biblical scholars who know. Well, Dorcas's, you know, kind of story is all of about 7 verses in the book of Acts. She actually, to make it a little more confusing, is known as Dorcas, aka Tabitha. So she has 2 names. She's a widow. She lives in the city of Joppa on the Mediterranean coast. She makes clothes for others who are less fortunate. So she's beloved in her city. She dies, and the people get really upset because she's an important part of their community. So they call Peter, who was running the church at the time, and say, "Raise her from the dead. We need her." And when Peter comes, the women and children and adults who she had helped show them the clothes, show Peter the clothes that she had made and given to them. And what does Peter do but raise her? So she is alive. Commentators have a lot of different interpretations of why that was able to happen, that miracle. But many of them say it's because that community needed her. Because she made the most of every chance she had to help others, to be a part of the community, to love other people. She's the only woman in the book of Acts, which is a somewhat long book, that's named as a disciple of Christ. Maybe we have something to learn from Dorcas. Maybe we can learn to make the most of every chance we get, because it will make a difference in our world. I admit this kind of a lot to you all, but sometimes I don't really like to read the news. It's sad, and there's enough sadness in the world. So I like to find blogs and other things about true life inspirational stories. Love What Matters is a blog that has great stories. And I read this one actually on Facebook a few months ago. And David and I, and maybe Elizabeth now too, have sermon files. So you file stories away that just inspire us. So if you look at your bulletin, this short man standing next to the tall man's name is David. And he helped Russell. You see, Russell was at the Tahoe International Airport, and for the second time in 2 days, his plane was delayed and then finally canceled. And so David found Russell behind a ticket booth or a ticket window, curled up, crying and sobbing and shaking and sweating, having a panic attack. And so David very calmly went up to Russell, bent down, and talked to him, and said, "Can I help you?" Russell muttered the words, I can't stop. I have autism." David just sat down next to him and stayed there. He calmed down, stopped crying, stopped shaking as much. And then David said, "Can you explain to me where you need to be?" He said, "Detroit." David said, "I'm gonna go try to help." He went away for about 5 minutes and he came back with a pilot and said to Russell, "We can get you to Detroit, and what we promise to do is to clear a whole row of seats." For those of you who know about people with autism, it can be overwhelming, the sounds and the sights. "We'll clear a whole row for you." And the pilot said, "Whenever I can, I try to help." Then they left him alone so he could decide if he wanted to get that flight to Detroit, and he decided to. And so David walked with him. He got on before any other passengers. Some of the passengers were grumbling, wondering what was wrong with this guy that he got to go on early. But every airline employee that David met, he said, "This is my friend Russell. You treat him right. This is my friend Russell. You treat him right." And Russell explains how tears were flowing from his eyes, and they weren't tears of panic or anxiety, but tears of gratitude. Russell's words, not mine. This post isn't about autism. It's about doing the right thing, about being a good person, about accepting others and reaching out your hand to someone in need, even if they're a stranger. Each and every single one of us is a member of society, and it is our obligation as such a member to support one another. Show what you're made of. Give a damn. Stand above all the fighting and arguing. Be brave and open your heart. Fulfill your moral duties as a human being. These scripture passages, especially the second one we heard, there is a sense of urgency. No, we can think we're nice Christians and come to church, and that's awesome. We love to have you here. But the real work is outside of these doors. The real work is when we choose to make a difference in every chance we get. That we choose to bless, yes, a stranger. That we choose to offer kindness to every person we meet, even when we may be annoyed. Jesus is very clear and very obvious about what it means to live a life of faith. It is our challenge to go bless and to welcome and to include and to love. We get lots of chances. I hope we make the most of them. Amen.